Joshua. And Joshua 18, when I was a new Christian, those types of chapters were like, oh my word, why are we doing this? You know, why do I have to know all of this stuff and whatever? Why is it that I need to read this? Well, again, you know, we are trying to know God better, and we are trying to relate to people better. And so what God has done is that he has placed his spirit in us. When we came to know Jesus, he took our sins away. And now we're in the process of learning. We're learning how to walk in a different way. And one of the best ways to learn is to look at people and look at how they do stuff. And also to see what God is saying in his word for us, how to behave, how to interact and things. And we need this for us because we are people who have been tempted out of our minds with an addiction. And I can tell you truthfully that if it had not been getting into the word, I would not be abstinent today. And I have been abstinent for 4 years before I found the Lord and found his word. But even after I found his word, I was told to read through the entire Bible. I was encouraged to do that. And so I keep encouraging you to do that so that you can remember who you are in the Lord. Because the demon will try to make you think that you did not change, you have not changed, and if you believe that you have not changed, it's easy. You can go into that food very easily. No big deal. Go into it. Eat it. It's no big deal. But you are different. You have been redeemed, and you have been given a special gift, and you need to know how to use that gift day after day after day, in the middle of a battle, because you're going to have the battle of your mind, and you're going to have, you know, just all sorts of battlement for you. You're going to, you know, have that, and so you have to be very, very careful. So these, the first two verses of chapter 18, here they are right here. It said, the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled at Shiloh, set up the tent of meeting there, and the land had been subdued before them. There remained among the people of Israel 7 tribes whose inheritance had not yet been apportioned. You know, so let's think about this a minute. Remember, God had chosen Abraham, and he told Abraham that he was going to get a nation was going to come from him. And from that nation, the world actually was going to be blessed. And but he also told Abram that it wasn't going to be a walk in the park. That they were going to actually be oppressed. And they were oppressed. They were oppressed in Egypt. But then God sent a leader, Moses, to help bring the people out of Egypt and to bring them into what they called the Promised Land. Now, when they came into the Promised Land was not empty. It wasn't like an empty place that they were going to go into and come and take over. No, there were people living in the Promised Land. And so what God was doing is that he was recycling the land. He was taking out those people who had messed up and messed around and they were not changing. And he was going to put his people in that land. And this is this part right here. And this is, you know, when you look at a map, it's only a very small portion of land that you see that his people were going to go into. And so, remember, they came up, they went to Jericho, Like, here's Jericho right here. Jericho was one of the first places that they went. And remember, they knocked over that big Jericho. And now, what we had before, in the chapters before, Joshua, who was an excellent leader, he led all the people to get these people out of the land who were in the land, you know, to have all these battles that were going on. Now, keep in mind, remember, there were three tribes that decided that, I don't think I want to go over to Jordan. How about if we have the land right here? So these three tribes already had their land. It was half of Manasseh, because Manasseh was actually a big tribe. That's why you hear the half tribe of Manasseh. There was Gad, and there was Reuben. And they stayed on this side of the Jordan. They didn't go over. Now, commentaries are, they differ whether this should have happened. I'm with the people in the commentary that say these people should have followed their brothers over to this side and stayed there, because later on, what we find in the history, these were the first tribes that actually got taken out, one of the ones that got taken out. And so this whole thing that we learn in the Bible, that we do need community, we need, and we need to be listening to God's way versus our way. These people wanted this side of the land because it helped them. But God wants us as new creations to love Him, but to love other people, to think of other people actually in the same way that we think of ourselves. My belief is that these three did not do that, but people differ on that. But going back to what we have here is that the Israelites have taken control of the promised land, and they gathered at Shiloh to set up the tent of meeting. So going back to the map, They've had all these battles, and now they're coming together at this place called Shiloh, which is right here. And they are going to set up the tent of meeting, which looks like this. Remember the tent of meeting that they had? They had a, it was a tent in the middle. They had a little place where they killed the animals. They had a place where the priests washed themselves, and then they had this tent all around here, and inside of the they had the this big wall made out of cloth all around it. Then they had this tent in the middle, and remember, the tent inside had a place which was called the holies, and then the holy of holies. And this is important because a lot of the visuals that we have in the Old Testament gives us an understanding of who we have in the New Testament now. In the Old Testament, only the priest could go into this special part called the Holy of Holies. And there was a big curtain, you see in this big part right here, a big curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And then the priest would go in, and he would sacrifice, and he would, it once a year, for the sins of the people. Now, if you remember, when Jesus died on the cross, it says that the curtain was torn. And they're talking about this curtain, actually the actual curtain, because once they had really settled this tent of meeting, the pattern for that was what they used for the temple, you know, the big temple that they had. But they still had that, they had this curtain in between. And it said that when Jesus died on that cross, that curtain actually physically tore. And again, that's a visual of what we now have. We now can go directly to the Lord. We don't have to have a priest go into the Holy of Holies for us. We can go because of what Jesus had done. So all of these tribes, they have, you know, They have scouted out the land. They have done a lot in the land. But now they're all here. But this is what Joshua says to them. Five of the tribes come forward, and they've already taken control of their land. But there are seven tribes who have not taken over the land yet. You know, the land is ready for them because of all of the work that everybody did, the armies did. But they haven't gone in. And I was listening to a commentary yesterday, and he said, the people probably were going, this is okay where we are. We're a big group. We are the champions, he said. You know, we can sit around and we can talk about how great we are, but we don't want to go into the land because there are probably still some people that we have to push out. And so so that was what was happening with these seven tribes here, the seven tribes, and they had not gone into the land. The lesson for us is this. There will always be the temptation to settle for good enough. But God is calling us to a life of excellence. In other words, you might be a person who's already abstinent. You're abstinent. And you can, if you want to, you can park on that. You know, I'm abstinent. I didn't know how to do that before. And God is good. He's given me abstinence and whatever. Well, I can call it, I call that, you know, the country club mentality. That I got it, I'm fine, my family's fine, we're doing fine. But when we act in that way, we are forgetting the commission on our lives. We have a great commission on our lives. If some of you have come from secular recovery and you remember the last part, the last of the 12 steps used to say, our primary purpose is to take the message of the food or whatever the drug was, you know, to people who are still suffering. As a Christian, that is no longer true. Our primary purpose is to take the message of salvation. Because when all is said and done, our world is going to fall apart eventually. It's going to God. But those people who have their names written on the Lamb's Book of Life, they're going to go and be with God in heaven. We must tell people that message. And our abstinence is given to help us to tell that message better. We can tell it better. Because if we're not abstinent, we're going to be confused. We're going to be on like a treadmill, just looking like we're running, but we're running in place. And so this is why, again, the importance is not only to stay in the Word so that you can remember what the Great Commission is telling you, but you got to stay out of that food. You know, both of those things. Stay in the Word, stay out of the food. Stay out of the food, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word, stay out of the food. Stay out of the food, stay in the Word. Because otherwise, you're kind of doing what these people did here. There were seven tribes that decided, aren't we great? We're in these tents. We're in the promised land. We don't really have to do very much more. But you know, Joshua was an excellent leader. He would not let that happen. He told them, you need to get out there and get going and take possession of the land. And this is what your sponsor and your shepherd does. Push you out of that nest and that, you know, all I have to do is be abstinent and wait for Jesus to return. That is not what that's not the best life. Because after a while, it's not going to make you happy anyway. After a while, you're going to have to deal with other stuff. And so be obedient to the Lord. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, how long will you put off going to take possession of the land? My question, is God telling you that? You know, do you know what your gifts are? And are you using the gifts that God has told you so that those gifts can help other people come to know Jesus and to come to know his strength. And so Joshua said, you know, how long are you going to put off going into the land? So he gives them a way to get going. He provides 3 men from each tribe, and I will send them out so they can go and set up the land. Write a description, a view of their inheritance, and come back to me. They shall divide it into 7 portions. Judah shall continue in his territory on the south. The house of Joseph shall continue in their territory on the north. And you shall describe the land in 7 divisions and bring the description here. And so, again, stop dragging their feet. And the message to us, are we dragging our feet? Are we just content with, I look good, you know, I'm, you know, whatever, things are good. What is the message that God has given to every Christian? Is that we must go out and take this message to other people. So Joshua confronted them. He sent those people out, and they were to make a map of the land. And he, you know, it says that they used a sacred lot in order to divide out the land. In verse 7, it says that the Levites have no portion among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their heritage. And Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan eastward. So again, 3 of the tribes have already have received their portions. Actually, 5, I'm sorry. You have Judah, you have Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben. They've already received it. And again, here's the map. We saw last week, you know, Judah, Ephraim, they have theirs. You have Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. Now, I want to say something. You see this map here, and these towns had already been established. So again, when they came into the land, they had work to do. It was their land. It was definitely their land, but they still had work. These were, just think about it, every one of these towns, I don't know what kind of city you live in, but these are like cities where people had been there before. And they had a lot of work. They pushed those people out because God told them to do that because the people had been had not been obedient. But some of those people stayed behind. And they needed to go in and continue to tell those people to leave, or else to lose their life. Some people were willing to do that, like Judah and Ephraim, you know, but some of them were not. Some of them decided, how about if I just make them slaves, and then they're my slaves, and then I won't have to do the work of pushing them out or killing them, actually. I mean, it's probably hard. Some of them probably thought, nah, I don't want to do that. How about just keep them around? Well, the problem with keeping them around is that they became an influence on them. And the same thing, you know, that we must keep in mind. Sometimes God tells us we're going to have to cut completely the cords of before. And we have to do that, or else it's going to have an influence on us that we can't even necessarily see that influence. And says, so the men arose and they went, and Joshua charged them to write a description of the land. And they came to Joshua later at Shiloh, and Joshua appointed the land to the people of Israel. So the men did do as Joshua asked them. They mapped the whole region. They made 7 territories, and they listed the towns, and they returned to Shiloh, and this allotment was done before the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord. Now, this is a big, important part. Whenever we have hard stuff to do, we don't have to do it in our own power anymore. You know, there are 2 mistakes that can happen. We can ignore God and make up our own little plan of how we're going to live our life, or we can find out what God tells us to do and try to do it on our own. You know, oh, I know God wants me to do this, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. That's not the way of the Lord. They were before the tabernacle. We need to be before the Lord. And this is going to be every day of our life. Every day we need to be before the Lord. This is why I encourage you, go to the Lord in His Word. You know, surrender your heart every day and ask Him, what is it that you want me to do today? How am I going to use this gift that you have given to me today? Help me to keep coming back to you today when I lose my way. And like I said, one of the big ways that you're going to find out that you might be losing your way is when the peace is gone. You don't have any peace. Things bother you. You know, she got on my nerves. You know, I can't stand her. You know, or blase, blase, you know, everything is happening to me. You know, nobody knows the trouble I'm having. You know, X, Y, and Z, and we telling everybody about it. Please keep in mind, God sees us. We belong to Him now. And He has a calling on our life. He has a calling on our life. And that calling, you know, if you've forgotten that calling, go back to in the Bible. Go back to Luke 4, and it's 18 and 19. Go back to Luke 4, 18 and 19, and where Jesus was beginning His ministry. And He gives us an understanding of where we are. You know, once we know, you know, that we belong to the Lord, we have given Him our life, and how do we do it? The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. So you want to get in touch with that every day. Every day, when you get out of bed, remind yourself, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And then that verse says, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. That's our marching orders. The way the Bible says it in another place, we are to make disciples out of all nations. We are to tell them that Jesus has come, the Messiah has come. So the Spirit of the Lord is on us because He has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. You know, if you're in a bad situation, you know, you may have family members that are not very nice to you. Well, God knows about that. And He has sent you to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. If people are upsetting, usually, they have something going on in their life. And that's the reason that they are probably making your life so bad. And God has placed you in that situation to help them, just like people helped you when you were a mess, okay? We all were a mess, okay? And somebody was praying for us. Somebody was living out the truth before us. And so these people were not to sit around the tent, you know, and think about, you know, they're not going to be sitting around the tent, ooh, you know, have the tent around the tabernacle. Ooh, aren't we great? You know, yeah, we know we got this land and we can use the people who are in the land to become our servants, but we got each other, you know. No, that's not it. We don't live in church and we don't live in, you know, at our desk doing the Bible. We are called to go out into that land and to be an example of what does it look like to be living for the Lord. That's what we're called to do. We have to do it. And then it says here, it tells about the tribe of Benjamin receiving the first allotment of land in their territories between Judah and Ephraim. one of the things in the Bible is that we want to realize that God gives us a heads up of what he's going to do through the Bible. And so we knew from the, if you go back in the Bible, and when Joseph was dying, he gave, he told people about each of the boys, what they were going to do. And he pretty much described where Benjamin was going to be, if you go back to when Joseph was dying. And so Benjamin is here. He's between what is later going to be the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. But also you notice in Benjamin that the town of Jerusalem is in Benjamin as well. And Jerusalem, you know, is a huge city in the Lord's, you know, what he has planned, not only now, but also what he has planned when Jesus returns. And so again, those things were prophesied even in the earlier on, and is a reminder to us that God gives us a heads up. That's another reason why we want to be in the Bible. And then next week, we're going to see he talks about Simeon, you know, and what Simeon gets. And we realize that even that was prophesied before, how that looks. And then the last part of the chapter just goes over the cities of Benjamin here. And I thought about in my own mind, what was my takeaway out of all of this in the Joshua 18? And so in Joshua 18:3, this is what it says. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, "How long will you put off going into take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your father, has given you? Put off going in to take possession of the land." Well, if I was not abstinent, I would be doing a grand putting off. Not being abstinent is a grand way to put off taking possession of what God has given us. When we come to know Jesus as Lord, keep in mind again, he has given us a gift to help other people know about him. And if we stay in the food, we are doing a grand putting off. I'm going to heaven. I know you told me you've given me a gift to help other people. I got stuff to do, you know. But even being out of an addiction, we can still not develop our gift. And we can procrastinate in developing the gifts that God has given them. And little by little, God gives us a marching order every day. So it's important that I don't procrastinate. You know, there are many reasons why we can procrastinate. Sometimes I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing. I like being abstinent. I like going out and buying clothes. I like looking good. I like just telling other people how to be abstinent, you know, versus, you know, telling them about the Lord. I'll sit around and tell you how to be abstinent, how to weigh and measure your food, how to go buy the food, how to make the food, how to take the food, whatever. Yeah, that's important. But it is not the final place where God wanted me to be. He wanted me to be telling them about Jesus. And sometimes I enjoy the success of what I'm doing, and I don't want to rock the boat with some new way. I know how to be abstinent. I don't necessarily know how to, you know, for me, teaching. I don't know how to teach all the time. I have to study my little rumpus off at times. You know, I have to listen. I have to write notes. I have to make whatever. Sometimes I feel like a failure. It's like, you know, well, that didn't go too well or whatever. I feel like that, you know, whatever it is. But God loves me fiercely and will not ask me to do anything that will not eventually bring me to a better place. You know, God, one of the gifts that I know that God has called me to be is a teacher. And not only to teach here, but to teach though my children and my grandchildren. You know, God has made that very, very clear to me. And so I have like 12 grandchildren. 7 of them are boys and 5 of them are girls. And one thing I know from having 2 boys of my own is that men have a big calling on their lives to know God and to make Him known, because they will become the heads of their family. And a lot of their family will go in the way that the head of the family will go. Now, my boys, they all have children, so both of them have children. It's not very much I can keep saying to them. They don't like me talking to them anyway, very much, because they have that little man thing going on. But let me tell you, those grandsons of mine, I have learned that I ask their family's permission, though. So I now have like 3 little grandsons. They're little. They're 19 is one of them, 15 is one, and the other one is 12. And I make it my business to meet with them each week and do like I'm doing with you. Whatever the Lord gives me, I want to give to them. And not as much as what I do in Bible for Food. In Bible for Food, I encourage you to do 3 chapters a day. Because you, like me, we have dealt with an addiction. And we cannot give the Bible a light touch. It's a light touch for us to do, I believe, just a chapter a day. If you've been in a disease, if you've been in where the demon had bared down on you, and you're wondering, why am I still eating? You know, why am I still whatever? We got to go into the Word with our hearts. But we can teach that to our children. And I'm telling you, each week I am blown away by 3 times a week with those 3 boys. I let them choose the chapter, and I do like we're doing here. And the difference is that we just read back and forth, me and him, and them, but they do right. And I'm very surprised at how the God is working. But yesterday I had a very sweet thing happen. So I have also 3 little grand girls that live in my town. And I've been praying, you know, God, how do I show them the importance of your word? And I did. I found a little Bible book, you know, a little, and has devotion. And I was afraid. Like I said, I don't know how they're going to take me speaking so clearly about the Lord to them. They like playing games. They like, you know, cooking. Well, I do that with them. I play games with them. I cook with them. But the Lord has shown me that before I start doing that, when I go over there once a week on Friday, that I need to talk to them as best I could about the Lord and to remind them about it. You know, and I had those 3 little girls around me yesterday. They were 7, 5, and 3. And we were reading a little book, and I was asking them questions. And I said, do you know why Nana keeps thinking how important the Bible is? And I said, the Bible's going to teach you. I said, it's going to help you know God. It's going to help you hear from God. And then I taught them a little song, you know, and stuff like that. But I don't want to be afraid to talk clearly to them about what they need to understand. There is a demon out there, and he doesn't care how young they are. Please. He doesn't care. And he will jump on them just as soon as he'll jump on me. And I want them to know that there is a God who loves them, and they will learn about that God as they stay in the Word, as they are in the Word, but they will remember about that as they stay in the Word. But let me tell you this. That won't even be on my radar to even have a desire to make sure that my kids know about the Lord if I would get into the food. I don't want to do that. I got other things to do. I got to go to TJ Maxx and get me some more clothes. I got to go get me some bigger and best food. I got to do it. No. God is saying to me, my word is clear. I'm giving you a heads up that Jesus is returning. And we don't know when he's going to return. I don't know. Those children might be taken up in the rapture because they're children. Or they might, I might be gone and they have children of their own. I want them to know the truth and to hear it from my mouth. But I'm telling you, I won't have that boldness to do that if I'm not in the Word. I will not have that boldness to do that if I am in the food. Those two things for me go together. Get in the food, and let me tell you, we can be sloppy about both if we wanted to. We could be sloppy about, giving the Bible a light touch, and we could end up like we saw in Amos. Remember? And we just finished those minor prophets. Well, one of the big messages of the minor prophets is that the Israelites had gotten very good at, going through the motions. We can go to church. We can even raise our hands and, we can make our face look whatever. But where's our heart? And so we want to have that time where we have that heart connection with the Lord. It will not only keep us out of the food, but it will help us to boldly share the gift that God has given to you. And if you're not sure what your gift is, ask God. Keep asking him. And keep showing up for the lessons. He will open it up to you, what that giftedness is. And each day that you are in his word and before him and praying and staying out of the food and staying out of fighting. Because that's another way. The devil wants us to be diverted and fight with the people that we should be helping. No, we're not going to do that. We're not doing that. So stay in the Word. Stay out of the food. We want to go from glory to glory. Because that's what God wants. Dear Father, I pray to remember that I belong to you now. And I pray to exercise the faith that you have given to me to get the hard things done. It's hard. It's hard to develop your gifts. It's hard to take your gifts out to people. It's hard. I had to do a lot of praying before I even talked to my kids week after week. What am I going to bring to them? What am I going to say to them? How do I, talk to, right now, like I said, I have three different boys. They're different ages. And I do it one-on-one. But they, when I meet with them, I never know what to expect. I never know how to get into the real meat of why we are together. But the real meat is that, please, I want them to be strong. I want you guys to be strong. And I'm telling you, you will not be strong if you get into the food. Get into the food or any other addiction. And you will not be strong if you don't have the equipping that God has for you. But I can tell you what you will be if you stay out of the food and stay in the Word. You have a life that is truly second to none. Truly. We used to say that before we knew the Lord. But this, I'm telling you the truth. Because regardless of what is happening in our life, we will be able to stand firm in it. Because we're not doing this alone. God is working with us. So that is the study of that Joshua 18. Now I will see if you guys would like to share. I'm going to first make a note if you want to share, but I didn't make a list of how you came in. April, do you think you want to share, April? Oh, you will. Okay. Phyllis? I don't know. Phyllis, I can't see you, and I see you're muted, so I don't know. Do you want to share, Phyllis? I don't know about Phyllis. How about Pam? Pam, would you want to share?
Yeah.
I'm making that list. Okay. Mallory, do you think you want to share, Mallory?
Yes, please.
Oh, thank you, Mallory. What about Jane?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Jay. What about Kathy? Kathy, do you think you want to share?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Michelle, would you like to share? Yeah, I don't see Michelle unmuting. How about Debbie? Debbie, do you think you want to share?
Yes.
Thank you, Deb. Yes. What about Sylvia? Sylvia, did you want to share?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Sylvia.
Yeah.
All right, and so where are we? Okay, good. We have, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and we can do 4 minutes, April. So, April, you're first.
Wonderful.
And then Pam, and then Valerie. Those are the first three. All right, April?